From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, chum salmon could be scattered about in more spots in southeast. Did the Humpies know this is an odd year? And how did Wrangell get funds for its harbor from the state of Alaska last month?
It's a Festivus miracle!
Well, we'll find out that and more coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
For an odd year, the predicted pink salmon return to the Kodiak management area for 2017 is looking depressed. Kevin Schaberg, regional finfish researcher with Fish and Game in Kodiak, says a lot of this year's pink salmon prediction rested on the success of this year's parent stock from 2015.
The forecast for last year was a total forecast of around 13 to 20, and this year we're looking at 13 to 30, so should be a little bit better than 2016. But again, there's a lot of uncertainty in it this year because of the poor conditions that were in the rivers in 2015.
Those figures are in the millions, as in this year's pink run is expected to return in a range of 13 million to 30 million. The poor conditions Schaberg referenced included a hot and dry summer after several winters with little snowpack to replenish the area's salmon streams. 2015 was the summer of the Twin Creeks wildfire in Chiniak and several smaller blazes around Kodiak Island.
If you look at Iqaluit, 193 to 700,000, so there's a lot of variability there. Karluk is looking like it might be on par with last year. The forecast itself is a smaller range inside of what was in there from last year. So decent at Karluk, probably not as good as we'd like to see. Again, a lot of this is starting to get into some of the reduced returns in the parent years. Let's see, moving around the corner. Again, a lot of these have a lot of uncertainty in them again this year. Upper Station, early run is about the same as last year, maybe a little bit better. The late run's about the same. Fraser, anticipating a little bit better than last year.
The main takeaway from the forecast, which is preliminary and published relatively early this year, is that there are a lot of variables, and while the range of confidence is broad, it's shallow.
So on average, I think we can expect to see something similar to last year with, potentially some of the systems having a few more fish in them. But nowhere do we see anything dramatically different, high or low.
The final forecast will be included in the statewide salmon forecast scheduled for release sometime early this year.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A Sitka-based hatchery organization has been granted approval for a new remote release site for chum salmon in Thomas Bay on the mainland near Petersburg. The hatchery chums, traditionally released closer to Sitka, could be an early season opportunity for commercial seiners and gill netters, but the location has been a concern for commercial trollers and sport anglers. Joe Vicnicki tells us more.
The Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, or NSARA, applied for a change to its hatchery permit that the organization has with the state. NSARA has been seeking a different release site for some of the young salmon produced at the Hidden Falls Hatchery on eastern Baranof Island. Steve Reifenstuhl is NSARA General Manager.
It gives us another release site where we can put Hidden Falls stock and hope that we get a much better marine survival than we've been seeing at Hidden Falls the last 3 or 4 years.
Hidden Falls chum returns numbered in the millions in the 1990s and early 2000s. Those chum return in the early summer and can give the commercial purse seine fleet a lucrative catch before the pink salmon show up. In the last few years, returns have only totaled a couple hundred thousand, and fishing opportunity has been scarce. Riefenstuhl and others suspect whales and fish have keyed in on the annual release of young chums in Chatham Strait and have been eating them up. He's hoping that won't be the case with the new site in Thomas Bay.
Now, the predators may find the release site at Thomas Bay at some point, but I think it takes some years, just like Hidden Falls had tremendous survival through, you know, the mid-1990s and then, you know, kind of ups and downs in the early 2000s and now just doing dismal.
Ansara applied to move up to 40 million Hidden Falls chum to the new release site. Riefenstuhl says the first few years that number will be closer to 25 million. The young fry will be held in net pens at a site near Ruth Island inside Thomas Bay for several months until they're released.
The net pens are on order and moving from South America, Chile to Seattle, then Seattle to Petersburg, and they'll be put together right in Petersburg and towed out to Thomas Bay, and we're hoping it'll all come together at the right time, and fish will be delivered in late February. Maybe early March.
The proposal was tabled a year ago, awaiting more baseline sampling of what other fish could be impacted by a new hatchery release and the anticipated commercial fishing it would generate in the bay. Ansara contracted for purse seining in July of 2016, with Fish and Game biologists sampling the catch. That fishing produced a total of 37 salmon from 4 days of fishing in seven different locations in the bay. The fish were pink, chum, and sockeye, and some had originated from hatcheries elsewhere in Southeast. A Fish and Game regional planning team voted to recommend the new remote release at a meeting at the end of November. Flip Pryor is regional resource development biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
We did get some, you know, people from both sides of the issue spoke on that. The vast majority of it was in support. Whether that, it's not really a democratic process where whoever gets the most votes is going to win necessarily. Everything's taken into consideration. But there was a lot of support in this case.
The Petersburg Borough Assembly, Chamber of Commerce, and multiple commercial fishing groups supported the proposal. The Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance estimates the value of the returning chums could be around $3.5 million at the docks. Southeast Alaska Seiners and United Southeast Alaska Gillnetters also wrote letters in support. A number of local commercial trollers and sport fishermen signed a petition opposing the proposal. That petition faulted the test fishing as too limited, and it highlighted the potential impacts of returning chums on the troll fishery outside of Thomas Bay. Retired ADF&G crab biologist Tim Kieneman also wrote a letter in opposition. He voiced concerns over the potential impact that 40 million chum fry could have on other marine species in the bay. Fish and Game typically spells out the boundaries of what's called a terminal harvest area surrounding a hatchery release site. It's where intense net fishing occurs in the peak season as commercial boats try to net all of the returning fish. Pryor notes that boundaries of a terminal harvest area have not yet been established.
That was one of the sticking points, is how do you keep it available for people who want to go crabbing and stuff like that, or go to the cabin there. And you know, Ansara was very accommodating at the meeting, and they have a history of working with people for their terminal release site.
A Forest Service cabin and trail are at Cascade Creek, not far away from the planned release site. Also, small cruise ships and tour boats anchor in the area. Commercial fishing would be in late June into early July, with seiners setting nets inside the bay and gillnetters and trollers intercepting those chums on their way back in. Riefenstuhl acknowledges that some will continue to oppose the new remote release, and he likens it to Ansara's chum release at Deep Inlet near Sitka.
We didn't have a deep inlet fishery. There are people that wish there wasn't a hatchery at Hidden Falls. I can just say we will operate with, you know, responsibility and try to address people's concerns and try to alleviate conflicts if they do occur.
Riefenstuhl says the hatchery organization is willing to design the harvest area to avoid halibut fishing spots and recreational use of the cabin. NSRA has already started advertising for contract workers to help rear the chum fry in Thomas Bay starting in mid-February and running into June. With fry going into the water there this year, the first adult chums would be returning in 2019 and 2020. Meanwhile, NSRA still will be releasing about three-quarters of its Hidden Falls fry near that hatchery on Baranoff Island. Commercial fishing could still happen around the hatchery in 2017, depending on returns. Reifenstuhl is expecting about 240,000 chums again, enough for collecting brood stock and potentially a few commercial openings. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AKTeach or at 907-942-0667.
The city of Wrangell received some good news regarding the Shoemaker Bay Harbor project from Governor Bill Walker just before 2016 ended. The governor proposed an appropriation of $5 million from the state's 50-50 harbor matching grant fund to cover Wrangell's request. The project is estimated to cost $10.7 million. Harbor reserves will be used to cover about $3 million, and the borough will issue bonds to cover the remaining costs. The funding still needs to survive the budgeting process, but borough manager Jeff Jaybush says it's a good place to start.
If the legislator passes it and then the governor signs off on it, the money would be available July 1, and we suspect we could get that out to bid pretty shortly, and maybe as early as late next fall, maybe, or early in 2018.
Shoemaker Bay Harbor is ranked number one on the Harbor Program's list of projects around the state. If funding falls below the governor's proposal, though, Shoemaker will be pushed off for the second time. The state skips project requests that can't be fully funded. The project was ranked number two in 2015. House District 36 Representative Dan Ortiz says the project's prospects are better with the funding included in the governor's budget proposal.
It's important that those monies were there firsthand in the budget rather than try to wait and add those monies to the budget later on in the process. That would have been a much more difficult task. So now the task is much more doable, and I'm hopeful that when it's all said and done, that $5 million will remain in the budget and that the Shoemaker Harbors project will go forward.
Ortiz gained a seat on the House Finance Committee when Republicans lost the majority to the new Democratic-led House caucus in November. Ortiz noted his position will help him protect capital projects in the district, such as Shoemaker Bay Harbor.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg and KSTK's Aaron Bolton in Wrangell. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.